I want to look at the passage that I read a little earlier from Genesis chapter number 26. That's page number 39 in the Old Testament, in the Pew Bibles, 39. And I hope you'll turn there, because in the earlier part of this chapter, there are things that I want to call your attention to that I think are very important for us. Paul made a statement, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now Paul, in his day and time, when he talked about scriptures written aforetime or before his lifetime, he was unquestionably talking about the Old Testament. So Paul was saying to Christians in his day, and those inspired words have been saying it to Christians in every age since then, that there's something to be gained by going back and looking at the Old Testament teachings of the Bible. Even though we say, well, I'm a New Testament Christian, why do I need the Old Testament? Paul said there's some things to be learned there. And if we can think about them from the perspective of learning something from them for our time and our good, then I think it'll prove to be a blessing for us. So I have read in your hearing verses 27, 28, and 29. And for this sermon's basis, I want us to look at verse number 29 in particular. That thou wilt do us no hurt, as we have not touched thee, and as we have done unto thee nothing but good, and have sent thee away in peace. Thou art now the blessed of the Lord. Those last four words, blessed of the Lord, is really the basis for my sermon this morning as we study God's holy word. If you will, join with me in your hearts in another word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do realize that when we look back to the Old Testament, there are some marvelous teachings. Sometimes there are messages that prefigure or talk about the coming of Jesus. And there are others that just show us how gracious you've been to your children in the past, and in the distant past at that. And Lord, it does help us. It comforts our hearts. It encourages us to trust you more and to be strengthened in our faith and in our hopes. Thank you, Lord, for all those great teachings. But there's one this morning that I trust you put upon my heart. I want to try to share it with your children in the best way that I can. Bless me now, O Lord, to serve you by proclaiming your word. Give me clarity of voice and mind, and help me, dear Lord, to explain your word in an understandable way, that we can all be built up and edified and taught and comforted by your word today. For your glory, for the edification of your children, grant it, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. It's an interesting thing that has occurred here in this particular verse that I've just read in your hearing, and that is that a man named Abimelech, who I view as sort of a king of the Philistines, which were long-standing enemies of God's children. But this man Abimelech and his power and his kingdom structure and all of that, he came to Isaac, and this is about Isaac. I preached, I think, last Sunday on Abraham and promises of God to him. And there are marvelous things there to see and understand. One of the most wonderful things to me is that in the Bible, God teaches us about Sarah and Abraham, and says, and I'm going back again, not quite all the way back to where last Sunday's lesson came from, but I'm looking now at Genesis 22, verse 17, where God said that in blessing, I will bless thee, talking now to Abraham, in blessing, I will bless thee, and in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemy. Now, God said that to Abraham, and of course, all of that was about God keeping his promise of giving Abraham a son of promise, and we now know that his name was Isaac. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's the divine lineage there. And so God was saying to Abraham that I'm going to bless you. I'm going to prosper you. And you're going to have descendants that will be as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sands on the seashore. Without number, in essence, as I understand it. And the important thing about it was that as God was in the process of making that promise, he carries Abraham out, says, look up at the stars, count them and see if you can tell me how many they are. And I'm putting it in my words here. But of course, Abraham couldn't tell how many stars there were. There were, in other words, innumerable. And that's what God is saying. The descendants of Abraham, by the blessings of that divine work of God through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, are going to be that numerous. Now, that son of promise, Isaac, has at this point been given to Abraham. And he has reached an age of maturity to where it's time for him to have a wife. And that wife turns out to be, as we learn later in our studies, her name was Rebekah. Abraham was very specific. He did not want his son, Isaac, to have a wife of the people they were living among. So he made him go back. And he had to go all the way back to the homeland. And this most trusted servant of Abraham was entrusted to go and bring that wife back to his son. And that old man, as I understand it, talked to God something like this. Lord, I don't know how to do this, but I'm going trusting that I'm going to have a sign. And if I say to a woman, give me a drink of water, and she returns the conversation to say, here, drink the water, and I'll draw water for your camels as well. Then I'll know that's the woman. The very first woman he came to, Rebekah, responded to his request in that way. And so she is sent back with that trusted servant, and she becomes the wife of Isaac. And as they're going forward in their lives together, there's a chain of events that take place in this chapter. God has begun to prosper Isaac and Rebekah and the lineage of the people. And they become a great host in number. Now, they are traveling kind of, I like to call it out in the open, moving across the land. And yet God was blessing them and blessing them and blessing them. Their livestock, their herds, their flocks were just blessed by the God of heaven, Abraham's God, Isaac's God. and the flocks were just reproducing, and herds were reproducing, and they had servants, and those servants' offsprings were reproducing, and so it was a growing host, growing toward that number, that immeasurable number that would ultimately and eventually come from Abraham. But on the land, they have become so numerous that Abimelech became concerned about their numbers. You see, their situation was such, they didn't have Walmart to go to, of course. They couldn't order from Amazon, of course. They had to get everything off the land. The land had to produce for the livestock to graze that they could produce. And from the livestock, they got their meats, and from their plantings, they could get their vegetables. And so the land produced, but the land couldn't produce without adequate moisture and water. And so there were wells that had once been dug, they had to redig. They had been since covered up. But this great crowd of people has come to be a concern to this Philistine king. And so he's wanting to get rid of those people. And in the 16th verse, Abimelech said unto Isaac, "Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we." See, Abimelech became concerned about that great number of people so near him. I'm sure he thought they're drinking a lot of the water, they're eating a lot of the fruit of the land. And the best thing I can do is to just tell them to get away from us, to go on into some other place. They won't be a threat to us, and we'll just go on as we have. And so whenever they observed something that took place, or he did, Abimelech, he saw the prosperity of God upon Isaac and all of those people with him and all their livestock. And this man that I would have viewed was probably paganistic in worship. He probably did not know the God that we know, or that Abraham knew, or that Isaac knew. And yet, he makes this statement. The last four words of the 29th verse, he says, "Blessed of the Lord." Don't you think that's a rather strange thing for him to have said? That I see something going on with you, and I recognize that the Lord is blessing you. And that changed the whole mindset of Abimelech. So Abimelech wants them to be at peace. He first told them in the 16th verse, "Go away from me. You're too strong. You're too numerous. Go away from me." And now he wants them to come back. And so Isaac says to him, "Wherefore come ye to me, seeing ye hate me, and have sent me away from you?" And that's in the 27th verse. Isaac perceived that Abimelech hated him and wanted him out of his way. And he said, "So now you come and you want us to stay, and yet you hate us and you've sent us away." Then Abimelech explains. They said, "We saw certainly that the Lord was with thee." Now I think personally only God could have revealed himself to Abimelech and made him to understand there's somebody that's blessing those people. There's some source of all that they have, of the prosperity. It's come from some source. It must be a divine being. It's the Lord, he called him. And he says, that the Lord was with thee. And we said, let there be now an oath betwixt us, even betwixt us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee. Now here's the change of plan by Abimelech. Once Abimelech is concerned, y'all leave us alone. You get on, go on wherever you want to, but just go away from us. And now he's seen how God has blessed Isaac and his, that which belongs to him, and now he wants him come back near us. It's all right, but just let's make a treaty. Let's work something out about this. Let there be now an oath betwixt us, even betwixt us and thee. This is verse 28. And let us make a covenant with thee. Verse 29, that thou wilt do us no hurt, as we have not touched thee, and as we have done unto thee nothing but good, and have sent thee away. Yes, we sent you away, Isaac, but we did it in peace. Thou art now the blessed of the Lord. Now, the reason I connected Isaac's wife, Rebecca, into this is that in that 24th chapter where that servant goes to get her, a lot is said and a lot of arrangements are made. But he wants to carry her back to be married to Isaac. And she had a brother named Laban. Now, as I read the 24th chapter of Genesis, it seems to me that maybe her father, the girl, Rebecca's father, might have died. I'm just not sure. But anyway, she mentions in verse 28, chapter 24, her mother's house, not her father's house. Normally, in the prevailing ideas of that day, if the father was alive and he was the head of the house, then it would be the father's house. And yet she mentions her mother's house. But at any rate, well, to make the long story short, that man tells his purpose. Rebecca is willing to go. And here's what I understand Laban said. Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I prepared the house and room for thy camels. In other words, you're going to stay overnight. And we prepared for that. But those four words again, blessed of the Lord. From what I can find out in my studies, that's the first place in the Bible, those four words, the blessed of the Lord appear. Now, after that time, there are another time of them, and that is, I found that in book of Deuteronomy 33:13, it was said of Joseph, blessed of the Lord. It's recorded in Psalm 115, 13 through 15. That statement is used, blessed of the Lord. And Isaiah 65, 23 and 24. If you want to write them down, if you want to ask me later, I give you those scriptures. But those words are used as blessed of the Lord. And what it does, it simply acknowledges that God is the source of our blessings. And that's really, even though this is not Thanksgiving yet, it's a thing that's on my heart, and I want to share with you that not only were those ancient individuals referred to as the blessed of the Lord, you and I can be said of that we are the blessed of the Lord. Wouldn't you agree with that? We are. Even in our day, so far in time removed from that day. And yet, as it was said of them, and it was true of them, because the Almighty God of heaven and earth, the Creator of heaven and earth, was showering his blessings upon Abraham, showering his blessings upon Isaac, and eventually upon Jacob, and then on and on and on. And even today, God is showering his blessings and mercies upon us. So it may be said of us, blessed of the Lord. Now, there are three things that I want to talk to you about just for a little while. as the avenue of blessings that God sends our ways. The first group of blessings is what I call financially. The blessings of finances. The blessings of money. Provision by which to buy things. Wouldn't you agree in your life that you are blessed of God financially? You know, brothers and sisters, when we walk outside and we look at our automobiles, we're blessed to be able to buy them. We didn't have to walk to church. We didn't have to ride a horse and wagon to get to church like some of our forefathers did. And yet they were blessed. In their day and time, they had blessings. But what I'm trying to say is that you and I are so richly blessed financially. As the Lord put this on my heart, I began to ponder and think in these three terms, or three divisions. I thought about financially. You see it all the time. If you watch any television much, you'll see people in hard times and hardship. People in areas where there's been disasters, and maybe everything that has been stripped away. The car was destroyed, the house was destroyed. And even when that hasn't occurred, there are always people around us. We're just having a very hard time financially. I don't know how many times over the years, there's been quite a few, that as a minister, someone passing through would find out where I lived, and maybe other ministers, I don't know, and come by and say, you know, I'm trying to get home, grandma's sick, or mama's sick, and I don't have any money to buy the gas to get on where I'm going. Could you help me a little bit? Well, of course I wanted to, and I did. I mean, I found ways. I don't like to just give people money. They may be lying to me and going to hunt a bottle or drugs. I don't want my money to pay for people's drug addiction and for their alcohol addiction. So the easy thing to do when I happen to say, well, follow me to the gas station and I'll put some gas in your car. But I say that to say, there are people sometimes trying to take advantage, and I know that, and you know that. But there are people living in hardship every day of their life. They can hardly find enough jobs that will pay their rent for the next month. They have a hard time buying enough groceries to feed their families. And some of them don't have enough to even own an automobile. They just walk where they go. And God's been good to us financially. Our church is blessed financially. We are blessed financially. It can be said of us from the financial perspective that we are blessed of the Lord. I believe that in my heart. Now, the second window through which we'll look, we're blessed physically. It's good to have the blessings of finances where we can buy the groceries we need for the week, pay for them, pay house payment or rent or whatever, and have a place that we're comfortable, we're going to be able to stay and sleep and live. But the second group, and I grouped it this way because the financial side of life is not as important as the physical side of life. And when I say the physical side of life, I'm talking about our bodies, our life, our health. All of us, you know, we'd rather live than to have money, because if you die, the money doesn't do you any good. But to have physical health, and I know it isn't always what we want it to be. We all have probably have some kind of infirmity that kind of subtracts away a little bit of the enjoyment of life. You know, it's just all kinds of forms because we're living in a physical body. And that physical body often grows weaker and more infirm as we get older. And so we have more and more problems with our health and going to doctors all the time as we're seniors and they're checking up and making this adjustment on medication and that one. And yet, brothers and sisters, we're able to be here today. There are people who can't be in the house of God today. They're on a bed somewhere, see? They're in a hospital where they cannot get out and go to church. Physically, we're able to be here. What a blessing that is from the Lord. We are blessed of the Lord physically because we have strength to get here. Health might not be perfect, but it's enough. We can be mobile and get around in life and go and do and enjoy visiting with others and being in the house of God. Physical health and physical strength, that's a great blessing. There's not enough money in the world to buy it. If you don't have it and can't have it, if your body doesn't sustain it. But if you have it, thank the Lord for it. We are blessed of the Lord. And I thank God we are. Just to be able to drive a car, that's a blessing. We have strength and help to do that. Just sit down in our house and watch television, that's a blessing. There's good and bad on it, we know that. But it's up to us to discern what to watch. And just to be able to sit down to a good meal. I'm blessed with a good wife with a good who is a good cook. And I'm blessed by the food that she prepares. And we're able to sit down and eat. And so I'm blessed physically to have food to eat. I don't remember a day of being hungry and not having food to eat. We're blessed physically to have the nourishment that our bodies need. Blessed of the Lord. Now the third one. Spiritually. We are blessed spiritually. And I mean by that, that God's grace and love and mercy abounds in all of our lives. Every single one of us. I believe that. God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together. By grace you're saved. There they are, Ephesians 2, 4, and 5. There's God's mercy, God's love, and God's grace. And you and I are the recipients of all of them. And I know that, and I think I can reasonably say that with reasonable assurance it is true, because you want to be here. If you were not a saved person, this would be the last place you'd want to be. If you did not know God or believe in God, if he had not revealed himself to us, made known to us through the new birth by the Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity, if he had not come to us and quickened us from death and sin to life in Christ Jesus, we'd all be in darkness. Coming into this house of God, house of worship, they'd be wondering. People say, why do you want to do that? Because I love God, and God loves me. He's blessed me, and I want to be here. But there's a lot of people that don't. There are a lot of people who wouldn't go to church. You just have to tithe and tow them into the church house to get them there. See, to have a spiritual side to our life, not just a physical life, not just finances, and not just the money, not just physical health and food and housing, not just that. The greater riches we have is the spiritual blessings of God, that we are blessed of the Lord. And you say, how? Because Jesus went to the old rugged cross and died for your sins and mine. And all God's chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. God the Father knows who we are. Jesus knows who we are. God the Father gave us to Jesus in the covenant of redemption and grace. And Jesus willingly went to the old rugged cross, allowed them to nail him there, crowned with thorns and a bloody back from beating, nailed to the cross. And there at last said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he gave up the ghost and he died. And he died for our sins, for yours and mine. That's the only way we could get rid of them, was that he paid the debt for them. If God had waited on us to get good enough for heaven, none of us would have made it, would we? If we're honest with ourselves and know our shortcomings. But God knew we wasn't going to make it without Jesus. And in God's fullness of time, he sent him to be born of a virgin named Mary. No earthly father, no depravity to come through him. Only he is holy and righteous and pure. And yet, he became the sacrifice for sinners such as we are. So here we are today, redeemed, I love to proclaim it. Washed in the blood of Christ that washed the crimson tide, washed all our sins away. When you read these four words, blessed of the Lord, I hope you'll think about, I'm blessed financially, yes, thank you, Lord. I'm blessed physically, yes, thank you, Lord. I don't have everything I want. I won't have everything I want until I'm in heaven's glory. But thank you, Lord, I have what I have. You've given me such blessings as you've been pleased to give to supply my physical needs. But more than all of that, thank you, Lord. I am blessed of you through Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior, the Son of God, the Lamb of God. He died for our sins. Did you know no one else could have done that for you? A lot of people who love us could die for us. Men on the battlefront have died for friends. They saw the danger and put themselves in harm's way and saved the life of a friend. There are people on the highways that moving about and they saw a child in a dangerous plot. They went and pulled them out of the way of oncoming traffic to the danger of their own physical being. But no matter, if we die for each other, it doesn't even take care of my sins if I die for you. And it can't take care of yours either. We are blessed of the Lord to be saved by grace, because one day when Jesus comes again, he's going to gather us and take us home to heaven's glory. Thank the Lord for his many blessings. Now I want to share with you, as I close my sermon this morning, very briefly, three scriptures. If we believed like Isaac, we are blessed of the Lord. We ought to be thankful to God. Would you agree? We ought to be thankful to God, the Almighty, and say, he is the Lord of glory, and I'm blessed by him. And I want to thank you, Lord. The first verse of Psalm 136, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. I believe there are 26 verses in this 136th Psalm, and all of them end, for his mercy endureth forever. But it begins, before it reminds us of his mercy, it reminds us that the Lord is good and we are to give thanks to him. The second one is in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You, sitting right out there, and me, and God's people, wherever they are, it concerns us all. In everything, give thanks. You say, well, I tell you, I've had some pretty rough times, preacher, and I wouldn't want to give God thanks for that. Well, let me tell you something. It could have been worse. It could have been worse. You ever thought about that? There are a lot of things in life you say, well, that's pretty bad. Person might say, I had a bad heart attack. Just did live. But you did live. See? It could have been worse. You could have had one so bad you couldn't live. You died. I believe that pretty near most, if not all, of the circumstances that affect us in life, and you kind of pick out the worst you can think about, but if you really think, you can see there's something even worse than that. So in everything you're going through, say, Lord, I'm not glad I'm hurting, but I'm glad and thankful I'm not hurting any worse than I am. See? In everything, give thanks. Yes, it could be worse. And then Philippians 4, verse number 6. It says, be careful for nothing. I understand basically what that means. Is don't worry about everything. Don't exercise. Martha was careful and troubled. We worry about things sometimes. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about everything. But, alternative, in everything by prayer and supplications, I understand that means, you ever get something you want so bad you start pleading with God to get it to you, to do it for you? You're begging God, Lord, please, please, please help me. That is what I understand, supplications involved in. So, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, listen now, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God so that we know and understand. Whatever we're going through, as God is bringing us through it, thank you, Lord. Thank you financially for the blessings you give. Thank you physically for the health and strength you give. Thank you spiritually, Lord, for the hope I have in Jesus Christ of heaven and glory. So when we are asking God in prayer, when we are in supplication with great desire and pleadings before God, with thanksgiving, make your request be made known unto God. And what I'm going to say is what I understand that to be saying. We should never pray a prayer but what we thank God for what we have and what He's done while we're asking Him for other blessings too. In other words, when we go to God and say, Lord, I've heard Him. Will you ease my pain? But thank you, Lord, it isn't worse than it is. Or thank you, it isn't this or that. With every prayer we pray, we ought to give God thanks, is what I understand. Why? Because it is nothing more than this. We are blessed of the Lord. We are. Thank you, Lord. May we pray. Father in heaven, we'll just thank you now for your love in Christ. In Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for a Savior. Thank you for heaven's glory waiting on us. Thank you for your church in the earth where we may come and get a glimpse of you through your word. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for everything you do for us. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we pray so much. We ask so much of you, Lord. But help us always to remember. In one way or another, we are blessed by you. And we need to give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.